Last week's announced settlement by the NFL was a labor story, a business story, and a medical story. The entertainment of pro football comes at a huge cost. A head trauma for players is a lifelong debilitating reality. The greater than even chance that someone will get a concussion in an NFL game is something the NFL now accepts as partly its responsibility. The nearly $10 billion a year league has agreed to pay out $765 million to compensate injured players and to prevent future injuries. Steve Fainaro is a senior writer for ESPN. The settlement came just as he and his brother and a team of journalists and filmmakers were finishing the forthcoming book, League of Denial, and a frontline documentary on NFL head injuries. The documentary, produced by our partners WGBH, airs October 8th. Fainaro says the settlement, while imperfect, represents an extreme turnaround for the league.
When you look at it just from the sort of historical perspective, I mean, the NFL went from denying that there was such a thing, there was a connection between football and brain damage. They continued to deny it and continued to deny it all the way up until 2010 when they were now being pressured by Congress. They've gone from there to now doling out $750 million to treat players for exactly these issues. And so, yes, I would agree that in many ways it is a vindication for, you know, not just the journalists who have been reporting on it, but particularly the players who have been, you know, fighting this battle for years now.
Does this seem to be genuine compassion in your view, or is it a corporate position that basically says, oh my gosh, we forgot the players are actually our entertainers, we have to take care of them?
I think the reality is that they were brought to this point, the point of a legal bayonet. They did not begin to take action on this issue until they were embarrassed before Congress, and then they were sued by nearly one-third of all living players. So I think people can draw conclusions from that. I do think that the new commissioner, or he's not so new anymore, Roger Goodell, who inherited this issue, has been a lot more proactive around that. And the NFL is certainly doing a lot more now in terms of putting money toward research, changing the rules, trying to assure players that they are trying to do the right thing. I think there's still a huge amount of skepticism among the community of retired players about the NFL's intentions. And frankly, I'm not sure that the settlement has mollified that. And in some ways, I think it's actually accentuated it.
Are you surprised by how much journalists have really driven the league to actually come to this position? We're talking about ESPN here. We're talking about you. We're talking about HBO. We're talking about a lot of journalists who've been on this for a long time.
This issue, the issue of football players and head injuries, you know, particularly with ESPN, which has a contract with the NFL, has been going on since 1994. I mean, ESPN has been at the forefront in covering this issue. I'm not surprised by that at all. I guess what I'm surprised by is that I really do think it gained a lot of traction over the last several years, and it really began to resonate. And then, of course, you know, the New York Times got involved in the issue in a very big way. And when the Times started putting the story on the front page, that really, really resonated. And I think it really gave the issue a lot of traction.
Although, how do you respond to the Times story, which suggests that NFL pressure is behind the change in your relationship with ESPN on this documentary project?
Any journalist would be disappointed by that, the insinuation that some sort of outside pressure may have been involved in the dissolution of a partnership that was, by all accounts, wildly successful. At the same time, you know, I think for us, the question has been, is this going to affect our journalism in any way, and especially our journalism at ESPN? And I think that what we've been told and what we've concluded is that it's not going to affect it one iota.
Do you think it's fun to be a football player? And if so, do the entertainment conglomerates that gain so much from them really do them justice in the end?
For these players, they're competing at the highest level of their sport and their profession. At the same time, I think that what we discovered while we were reporting on the book and the film was the incredible toll that being an NFL player takes on one's body and, as is being discovered, on your mind. I mean, it is an incredibly violent sport in a way that is not conveyed in any real way through television, that the violence that occurs is in many ways sanitized by television, in the same way that I think, in a similar way to the way combat and war movies sanitize violence. It's just impossible to replicate the incredible amount of violence that's occurring on the field. And so players are coming out of this severely damaged. And I think this is where a lot of the tension has been. I think it's a really complicated issue from an entertainment perspective, from a responsibility perspective for the corporation, the NFL, and for us, right? There's a reason the NFL is a $10 billion industry. You know, more than 100 million people watch the Super Bowl. So there's a reason for that. And I think one of the things that's happened because of this issue is that it's caused a great deal of introspection about sort of what is it that we're actually watching. And then, of course, it's also created, and we can thank the NFL players for this, it's created a really useful national debate around concussions and what do we want for our kids. I'm in a household where we have a child who plays a contact sport. And so that question of how much do we want him exposed to that, you know, has been constant. And, of course, we're not alone. That conversation is happening all over the country. Mm. And we can thank the NFL players for that. They have brought that debate to, you know, into our lives.
The stakes here. I think there's a story that really shows how high the stakes were here, and that's the battle over Junior Seau's brain. How did that show you just how willing both sides were to sort of go to the mat?
When Junior Seau shot himself to death, there immediately was a race among neuroscientists to acquire his brain so it could be studied. And I think it really spoke to where we are on this issue now, that in addition to all the attention, the obvious concern for players and what's happening to them, that this has become a hot scientific topic with a lot of research money, prestige, notoriety, and, you know, for the NFL, its future, which I don't think it's an overstatement, at stake.
Steve Vanneru is a senior writer for ESPN, also the co-author with his brother Mark Vanneru-Wada of the forthcoming book League of Denial, a frontline documentary with the same name based on his reporting, airs on October 8th. Steve, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.